Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the third episode. Hello, my boys. We have Eric and Dave back with us again. How are we doing this week?
Fantastic.
Doing well.
We decided that we were going to shake things up to start this next episode. And with the NBA playoffs wrapping up, we wanted to share our top 10 players that we would have, that we would want to have on our team at the beginning of the 2021 playoffs. So, assuming everybody gets healthy this next offseason, KD's feeling good, Kyrie's feeling good, everybody's there, who is our top 10 players we want to have on our team? And I think we should just jump right into this. Yeah. I feel like there's going to be some hot takes here. I think there's going to be some accusations, maybe some finger pointing coming, but I think this is going to be a lot of fun. So, Eric, do you want to start with your number 10?
Yeah, let's count it down here. 10, I have Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. Ooh.
Chris Paul, he always shows up for the playoffs, even when his team isn't necessarily bad. But he kept the Thunder in close games, so I'd have Chris Paul.
Dave, did you have Chris Paul on
your
list?
I did not.
I also did not have Chris Paul.
And you're like the biggest Chris Paul boy.
I am, and I thought very long and hard, and I was surprised to myself that he wasn't on my list. But there was no way that I think for next year, I think he's going to be a step slower again. And 90% of what Chris Paul this year is, I'm not sure if that's going to be good enough to be a top 10 player, considering all the talent we have in the NBA.
To that point, the playoffs are slower than the regular season.
That is a very good point, but I think he's just going to be less of himself. And I'm sure he'll still be able to have, like, incredible games, and I think he's going to
be
a great player.
Knicks, so
yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it will matter. He won't be in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if I could do that to Chris Paul. Dave, do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I like Chris Paul as a player. It's just, I don't know if I'd have him in my my top 10. I mean, he would probably, like, if we were expanding this list to however, I'm sure he's not far off the top 10. He's just not in the top 10.
I would say Chris Paul's in my top 11 or 12. Definitely, for sure.
All right,
Dave, who do you have as your number 10?
Number 10, James Harden.
James Harden is also my number 10.
Yeah.
James Harden is not on my list.
I think that just seems like a fair play.
No, tell me about it.
My whole thing with James Harden is volume score. He's going to score a lot of points, but that's just about what he does. Not a great track record in the later rounds in the playoffs, but he scores a lot of points, and that's why he's at 10. Good player, just not a ton of results.
You can just look at his playoff history. He has never done it in the playoffs. He's never been a consistent playoff player. I had to put him on the list just because he is former MVP James Harden, and he is an incredible player that has the opportunity to go off at any night. But you just look at his playoff resume, and it's year after year choke. This year against the Lakers, they just looked like they wanted to go home. They were not in that series at all. James Harden, especially without D'Antoni, because if I'm starting this team, D'Antoni's not going to be my head coach. I don't know what a James Harden that isn't hyper-efficient touching the ball as the point guard 90% of the time is going to look like next year.
So by the logic of former MVPs, we should see Russell Westbrook somewhere on your list.
Russell Westbrook is not on my list.
Okay.
All right, Eric, shoot us your number 9.
Number 9, who I replaced. I originally had James Harden here. I replaced him with this player. Jason Tatum at number 9.
Ooh.
You know, he's coming into his own now, and he's a good scorer. He was getting some clutch buckets this playoffs. I think he can only get better from here.
I love Jason Tatum. I think a lot of the shots he takes in the closing minutes of games is very questionable. I think he wants to be the guy, and for a lot of times he can be the guy, but he was surrounded by a lot of talent, and just it seemed like he takes the same kind of low block corner fade, and he does not hit it. And he was not on my list. That's the second person not on my list.
He was also not on my list. Another person who I'd say top 12. He was on my list at one point, but I deleted him off. I think, exactly like Dave said, I think you hit it perfectly, that he has a lot of help there with Brown and Brad Stevens as well. I think he's going to be a very, very good all-star caliber player for years to come. But next year, I think that there are still 9, 10, probably 11 other players that I'd rather have over him. Okay, Dave, who do you have in that 9 spot?
James Butler, Mr. Buckets.
Okay. Talk to me about it.
I think he's not the greatest scorer. He's not always putting it on statistically. I just think what he's done this season in terms of galvanizing a team and getting them to all play for each other, and I think it also might help, like, given the situation in the Heat with the people that are around him. It's just the run he's gone on this season it shows how good of a player he is, even if he doesn't put up the stats that show up, like, oh, he had this many points in the game. But I think he affects the game in a lot of ways, and that's why he's 9.
I had Jimmy Butler as number 7 on my list.
Oh, wow.
I think every single team he goes to, he makes them better. Timberwolves made them better. 76ers made them way better. And now Miami is taking them to the finals. I think if we're talking about playoffs and we want somebody at the beginning of the playoffs to make everybody better on your roster, I was trying to find a way to move him up past 7, but I was trying to be a little bit conservative and not let recency bias take over too much. But every single year, Jimmy Butler is right there, and I think he's going to be there for years to come with that Heat team.
Jimmy Butler is also number 7 on my list.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if you go back and watch the Sixers versus Raptors, Jimmy is going shot for shot with Kawhi in the last game, and he brings the energy. He called himself a dog. He's a dog. He brings the intensity the playoff needs.
Yeah, even with Jimmy Butler, he doesn't need to have the ball for the first 3.5 quarters of the game, but he can still be that alpha who wants the ball at the end of the game and won't let the pressure get to him. Okay, so for my number 9, I had Damian Lillard. I think Damian Lillard had an amazing bubble, and I think that this year it's kind of skewed because his playoffs were the second they got into the bubble, and he was already worn out by the time that he reached the Lakers, who were a far superior team to them. But I think Damian Lillard has the ability to go off for 45 any night, especially if he's starting the playoffs not gassed like he was this year. The stretch that he had right before, I think it was in January, where he was averaging 48 and like 2 rebounds, was just insane, and he has the ability to carry teams to the conference finals by himself, practically.
I think you meant to say second round of the playoffs, because that's as far as he's ever gotten.
No, they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Did they?
Yeah, they lost to the Warriors.
They got swept. I forgot about it. No, I don't even have Dame on my list.
He's also not on my list for the reasons Eric brought up. Great in the first round. He's incredible to watch in the first round.
He'll take a Thunder 7 games and beat him.
I think this year is just, I would count his entire bubble as the playoffs.
So
if you're talking about
Devin Booker
that.
Also on your list?
Devin Booker is not on my list because Devin Booker probably won't smell the playoffs for the
top
next 10
12
years.
Logan's gonna have an
but he went 8-0 in the bubble.
Yeah, he was fighting for his life, and I'll give him that, but I think Dame has also showed it way more.
Best bubble player?
I say Dame was the best bubble player.
Over Booker?
Yeah,
I think Booker was better.
I would probably have Booker.
Yeah, because Booker was playing on house money, but Portland actually wanted to win something. There
Booker's
was no
also,
expectations
also,
for the Suns.
They went 8-0, and he's playing on the Suns. Like they.
No, I'm not saying he didn't play great. He was the second best player in the bubble, but I think Dame being able to carry that team of the injured and broken to the first round, I think, was very impressive. And he has also shown that he can carry a team to a conference finals before and can hit game-winning shots on the regular. All right. That's enough Dame for now. Let's move on to y'all's number 8 player.
Number 8, I have Nikola Jokic.
Ooh.
He is a matchup nightmare. He moves like molasses, but he can pass at any time. He shoots that one-footed fade jumper from anywhere on the floor, and it goes in. And, I mean, you saw what he did in the playoffs this year. I like Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic is my number 8 as well. I think he hit a lot. I think he does a lot more than the traditional big, and I think it helps in a lot of different offensive schemes. I mean, It wasn't really the Lakers game, but against the Clippers and stuff, he got Zubac into foul trouble. Trez didn't match up with him. You can't really go out and shoot guard him at the three-point line, or he'll blow past you or get a good pass. He does a lot of things. So, yeah.
I had Nikola Jokic as number six on my list.
Ooh, wow.
I think his ability to just, first of all, his ability to shoot and pass. Not enough people are talking about Nikola Jokic's ability to pass.
Mark Jackson isn't.
Mark Jackson is not said a word.
I think he's just an incredible player, and he's going to be an incredible player for years to come if he can stay consistently in shape, even though he looks like he runs with flip-flops. I think pretty much everything that you guys have said before, I think he's an incredible player, and I think that he's definitely top six capable, if not worthy.
He was given AD work.
He was. Mm-hmm. All right. So that brings
it. That brings,
it,
eight,
that
so
brings it
to
my number eight, Luka Doncic.
Oh man,
do either of y'all have Luka on your list?
He's never been to the playoffs
this year.
So, or did he go this year?
Yeah, this
I
year.
Don't, you know, if this year was a blur. did he get swept?
No, they won two games.
Who did
two
they
games
win?
Against
Clippers.
The Clippers.
Oh, the Clippers. Oh, right.
That's
right,
the
right,
one
right,
he was
right,
going
right, right,
just
right,
crazy.
Bananas.
Right. He was going bananas. I do not have Luka on the list.
I
have Luka.
Where do you
have
Luka?
I'm at six.
That's nice. I wanted to bump him up a little bit more, but I like the guys ahead of him just a tad bit more. I think Luka really has the star potential, and I think he will be an MVP candidate this year. He did amazing against the Clippers, who a lot of people thought were going to win the whole thing without Porzingis. I think if he got a little bit of help, I see no reason why next year they would not be, the Mavs wouldn't have a chance to make a push into the conference finals against the Lakers and Clippers next year. They just got a bad matchup to start it this year.
Yeah, that's my big thing with Luka is a lot of the talk going into it is the Mavs are in the playoffs. It's Luka and Kristaps, and that's the big two that they've got. And it's really hard to match up with both of them. But then Kristaps really didn't play, given injuries and limited time. So it's kind of just Luka kind of carrying the team by himself and putting up crazy numbers. He rolled his ankle, still was playing crazy numbers. I don't know if he's the do-it-himself kind of guy, but even with some resemblance of KP on the floor, I think it's a team that's going
to
be scary.
He needs to step up defensively just a little bit. Like, he lets whoever he's guarding score a little too much.
Well, he's also 21 years old, and I think that's a part of game that will come in time. Like, LeBron really turned into a great defender like 5 or 6 years into the league, and this is, I mean, he looked pretty good in game against the last game against the Nugs, but I think Luka has a chance to be a generational talent, and I think he has a chance to be a multi-time MVP, best player in the league type guy. So that's why I have Luka at 8, and I think after next year, could even be a top 5 player. So Eric, who do you have as your number 7?
I have Jimmy Butler at 7.
Okay.
Jimmy Buckets.
Dave, is your 7 been said?
No, my 7 is Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I feel like he should have been higher, but then he's never really shown me anything in the playoffs.
I know he hasn't had the opportunities to because of his team, but whenever he is in the playoffs, it's never been his fault, the reason why they've been eliminated. He has been a clutch player before in the playoffs for them. Or not for the Lakers, but he has been a good playoff player before.
I just go to the throwing a bunch of games in the playoffs, and it just seemed like they put talent around him in there, they gave him Boogie, he had Drew, and just things would always crumble, and it's hard to not go, oh, well, it's because of the star. So I think this season's been very helpful because he's not, I mean, for a lot of things offensively, he's the focal point, but having LeBron James kind of distract everyone from just focusing on AD, I think, has really helped him. But that's why I think he's a little bit lower on the list, but still on it.
Where'd you have
him? Well, this leads me right to my number 6, which is Anthony Davis. I also think he should be higher, but I think it's just he hasn't proven it yet. But you just can't put him any lower because of his talent. Like, who you want Anthony Davis on your team. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
I had Anthony Davis 5th. I think he, just like you guys are saying, I think he's super talented. And I think he's I think he's one of the best players in the league, and he's definitely the second best player left, I think. I feel like. Okay, my 7 and 6 have both already been said. That was Jimmy Butler and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, 6 is Anthony Davis. So, Dave, what do you got? 6.
My 6 was Luka.
Oh, so we're on to 5 now.
All right.
Unless Logan said his 6 said?
Yes, my 6 was.
Okay, so we're on to 5.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Steph Curry.
Okay.
I mean, best shooter ever.
Yes.
What he did with the Warriors, is everyone knows. And, I mean, he's, yeah, best shooter ever.
Steph Curry is my number 3 player.
Steph Curry is my number 1.
Wow, number 1.
Number 1.
Okay, well, big. Yeah, tell me about the number 1.
Steph Curry puts up crazy numbers in the playoffs.
He does.
He's a matchup nightmare. He shoots crazy. He shoots over 90% free throw. He's shooting over 40% at the 3, 50% for 2. No one really truly matches up with him. I mean, you can't put a big on him. There's not really a guard that can cover him. Just, I think he does so much for a team, and then if it's a late game, need a bucket, there's not really a better guy to go and give it to. I think his numbers anywhere, he's a hard guy to cover. That's why he's my number 1.
There is and was a better guy to give it to. Kevin Durant was on the Warriors, and who did they give it to when they needed a bucket? KD.
That was KD.
I think that was for KD's ego more than, like, we want to give the ball to KD.
Steph Curry, when KD joined the Warriors, Steph Curry took a step back. That's why I don't have him higher than 5. He let KD do what KD does because I think KD.
I think that was mainly because KD had an ego and Steph Curry didn't.
But this is about winning.
Yeah, and they could still win with him.
Yeah, I know, but if Steph Curry.
It's going from one world class player to another.
Okay.
I think Steph does a lot of things. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, oh, they didn't use KD. But they also, when KD was on the team, when all of them were on the floor, they never really needed the shot. There was never a moment where they're like, oh, we need a quick bucket. Things were always pretty wrapped up.
I'll say it. Kevin Durant, he went from second place on my list to out of my list completely. I could not justify a Kevin Durant who I haven't seen. His Achilles and how he can run and do everything. I can't do it until I see him. I couldn't justify putting him over these talented people who we know are talented and we know are going to be pretty much at their best.
He was healthy enough to play in the playoffs. They held him out of it.
That is true, but I don't know if he's going to be the same Kevin Durant that we're used to seeing. Who do you have as, are we on 5th?
Yes.
Dave, who do we have as your 5th?
I have Kawhi Leonard.
Wow, all the way down at 5.
I think with Kawhi Leonard, I mean, a lot of it can be recency, but also, like, longevity. Look at the numbers of the games that you don't really remember of the series that he went on. I mean, he's a great player. He does a lot of things, but this season, he played really well. They couldn't get it done. He's not really a vocal guy in terms of a playoff team. So, like, if things are coming down to the wire and you need kind of, like, a morale, someone to really galvanize the troops, he's not going to do it. He had a lot of seasons in San Antonio where, I mean, they're good seasons, but they weren't these, the Spurs can win the whole thing this year.
So, for me, I have Kawhi at number 2. I think Kawhi Leonard, if I'm just getting him for the playoffs, I'm imagining that he had, like, a whole season of load management where his knee is feeling okay. He has won 2 finals MVPs for 2 different teams. I barely count the rookie year one because he was a very so-so player up until the playoffs. But, I mean, he was still finals MVP.
That's what this list is about, playoffs.
I know, but that's why I'm saying that I think he's number 2 because I think this year, I don't want to say that he gets a pass for this year, but I think he also gets a pass for this year for what he did last year. Paul George doesn't get a pass, but Kawhi played well in every single game except for game 7 when he had no help. So I can't really say anything like that. I think Kawhi Leonard is a generational talent, and I think he's going to have a good chance to win the finals next year as well.
Kawhi Leonard, the Claw, is my number 1 player.
Number 1!
There's nobody I want more in the playoffs right now than Kawhi Leonard. I mean, you look at this year's playoffs and look at all the turnovers he had against the Nuggets. every pass to Paul George is a turnover. Like, don't look too deep into that. But look at 2019, what he did on the Raptors, what he did against, what he does against LeBron in the finals when he was a rookie. He plays defense, he facilitates, he scores, and he doesn't let the pressure get to him. So I think that's the guy you want. He's the killer.
Yeah, I don't really blame a lot of the turnovers because they were really trying to force the offense down his throat down the stretch, and he's not supposed to touch the ball as often as he ended up touching the ball.
No, I completely agree. All right, for my number five pick, let's fight Giannis Antetokounmpo. Number five. I think he is a dominant player in the regular season. It just seems like right now teams have found a way that they can guard him successfully. And, like, he's still number five on my list, even though he's two-time back-to-back MVP. Incredible player. Does so many great things. I have AD in front of him because AD shoots better. And I think they both play great defense, but I think when it comes down to crunch time, I think right now I'd rather have AD than Giannis, because while Giannis is doing it alone right now, and AD wasn't able to do it alone with the Pelicans before, they got about to the same place and were basically equally unsuccessful.
Giannis
got to the Eastern Conference Finals and lost.
The Pelicans got to the second round and lost.
That is a good point. For me, especially with AD under LeBron, and I think he's going to learn a lot of things from LeBron, I'd say going into the next postseason, I think I would rather have AD.
So we're going to say our take on Giannis?
Yeah, give me your take
on Giannis. So Giannis is my number three. And the only reason he's not higher is because he doesn't have as much playoff experience as my number two and number one. But he's two-time MVP. He's the best player in the league right now. And he's a matchup nightmare. You got to put three guys on him. And if he's on a competent, if he has another competent number two, which Middleton is a so-so number two, I think, to this point, you can't put three guys on him. So.
Okay, so I actually have a legitimate question. Middleton was an all-star this year. So are you talking about, like, and does he need, like, a two, like a superstar?
We'll get Middleton's numbers in the playoffs. He only showed up for one game, and it was when Giannis went out.
I definitely agree, but I don't really understand Chris Middleton. He's just never been super consistent. He's an all-star caliber player.
Yeah.
Dave, do you have any thoughts?
No, I had Giannis at four, and I had him up higher, and then I dropped him down. My thing with Giannis is I think he is incredibly difficult to guard one-on-one. And if you want to guard him, you have to build that wall that we saw throughout the playoffs. It didn't really work with the Magic. The Heat really did a good job with the wall. But it opens up shooters. That's the whole thing, is you're hoping they don't score and beat you. And then that it worked. They didn't have enough pieces around Giannis, and that's what I think hurts Giannis overall, is the pieces. So I think he'll have – next year I think he'll have a great playoff. I'm rooting for the Bucks. I think if they can get that extra piece – and it doesn't have to be a superstar caliber player, but it can't be, love Kyle Korver to death, it can't be, we've got another just pure shooter, and that's going to fix everything. They need some other people to take the pressure off of Giannis.
They need a Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, they needed Malcolm Brogdon instead of Eric Bledsoe. I don't think Bledsoe's a bad guard. I just don't think he is as good as what Brogdon would have done for the Bucks.
This is a little off topic, but Victor's looking to leave Indiana.
I saw that.
Because I've also heard that Indiana's looking at D'Antoni, so if I was Vic, I'd want to get out of there too.
Yeah. I have a quick question, quick little sidebar. Do you guys think that you can win an NBA title with a center as your best player in 2020, 2021?
No. If you don't have three-point shooting on your team, you score 70 points a game.
I think I would agree because, I mean, Shaq and Kobe only worked. I think they were the last team with a center as the best player to win the whole thing.
He had Kobe.
Yeah, exactly. But
when your second best player is Kobe, things kind of help out.
Yeah. I think if you're, I mean, Shaq, I don't know if
Shaq
you can even,
do, it
do you think
Orlando.
Shaq and Kobe could do it in 2020? I mean, they were both dominant players, but.
I don't think anyone
well,
stopped
Shaq. Look at the bigs now.
This is a very good point. Shaq would be Giannis plus if he played right now.
He'd be.
I mean, he wouldn't have the handle, but there's not a person that can play him down low.
Yeah, not in the post.
Yeah, just a thought. All right, let's get back to the list. So we're on number four.
We're all mixed up.
Yes, we're on. Yeah. Who do you have as your number four?
My number four is Kevin Durant.
Okay.
I mean, I said Steph Curry is the best shooter of all time. I think Kevin Durant's the best pure scorer of all time.
I agree.
I mean, nobody can. He's got the handle. He's got the shot. He's 7 feet tall. Whatever, 6'9", whatever he wants to tell you. He can shoot, dribble, pass. He can play defense when he needs to. And I mean, he's the guy I want to have take that last shot.
Kevin Durant is a two on my list. And I mean, it goes with the whole thing Logan said earlier about Achilles. I was being a little optimistic. I'm thinking his injury goes off, he is fine. Perfect season.
The way he plays, I don't think he needs an Achilles. He's not dunking anymore.
No. I don't think. And with Kyrie, if they can just get the ball out of his hand without him taking the whole shot clock, that kind of pushes a little bit of him having to dominate the ball. I would have to agree. He is probably the best pure scorer. I don't think there's a shot that comes out of his hand where you go, oh, I don't like that.
Half court.
Some reservations given him being in the Nets, but I think it's hard for me to discount Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. If I knew what I was getting, if I knew that I was gonna get KD
at 90%.
Yeah, if it was even KD at 90%, I'd say he's a top five. He's top five on my list. I just don't know what I'm gonna see at the beginning of next year. I don't know if he's gonna like have to do load management. I don't know how they're gonna have to handle him. But I have no quarrels with you guys having him up there.
Yeah, I'm just being optimistic. I thought he wouldn't be that high for a lot of other people. I went the optimism route.
Dave, has your number four player been said yet?
My four was Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay, mine was Steph Curry. Mine was AD. Who's your number three player?
I had Giannis at number three.
Okay. Dave?
I have LeBron James.
All right, let's get into it with old LeBron.
Old LeBron. Yeah, my thing with LeBron is every year I want to say he loses a step. And I have been wrong. I don't want to say every year because it's really only been since he's been a Laker I've really discounted him. Last year was not good for old man Bron. But this year I think he does a lot around the floor. He can take the pressure. I mean, he's not the best in terms of stats on the Lakers. But in terms of, like, if you want someone on the playoffs, someone that can kind of do it all, dribble, he's shot not horrible, but I mean, not great. He's not a great free throw shooter, but he kind of can do it all. If you need to stop, he seems to be like, kind of acts like a second coach on a team. I think he gets everyone around him motivated and ready to play.
I have LeBron James as my number one for many of those reasons. I think, especially with him basically being an assistant coach at the same time and everything that he does on and off, he's also basically the assistant GM for the Lakers. I think that for the last 10 years, the answer has been LeBron. I don't know anybody else who I would rather have in a clutch situation. He's one of the best clutch shooters in the history of the league. He's just right up there statistically, obviously, with everything. He's just, what more can you say about LeBron that hasn't already been said a million times? I think he's the second greatest player of all time, and I think that he's number one on my current list.
LeBron is number two on my current list. You can't discount what he's done. I mean, he's been to 10 finals now. Only won three, but 10 finals. He's great at passing. The offense runs through him. When you need him to get the stop, he can get the stop. His three-point shooting this year is not very good, but he's shown he can shoot the three a little bit. And he can still run and dunk like he used to a little bit. And I mean, he's got the experience. He's got more experience than anyone else on the list. So, I mean, you got to put him up top five at least. He's number two for me.
What do you guys think is more impressive? Finals MVPs on three different teams, which he is very, very realistically looking at this year. Or do you think MJ's six titles with one team is more impressive?
Never losing in the finals is more impressive.
Yeah, 6-0 is better.
Never going to a game 7 in the finals is more impressive.
No, I totally agree with you. I think it is. I think it, if LeBron is able to get one more, I think it might like start becoming a conversation, because that's what I was going to say as well.
I think what hurts LeBron, and I'm not saying that I view, it's the losses. It's that whenever the debate of rings or whatever, he could catch Jordan in rings, and they'll go, oh, but how many did you lose?
See, so, I don't
think that was always going to be a point of contention.
I think the Warriors' losses, I don't think that those should count, because LeBron was basically on, or not LeBron, I think MJ was basically on the super team of the era. He was on the best team pretty much by far.
Why was it the best team?
Because of him and because of all the additional pieces. No, I'm not saying, no, there were other pieces, and I think LeBron has had to do it with worse teams, but all those worse teams are also his fault. I kind of lost my point. Yeah, I think what LeBron is doing, I think you can axe like the Warriors' losses, because I think those were the greatest, some of the greatest teams of all time, if not the greatest teams of all time. I think the one loss that I think will always make him not as good as LeBron, I think, is that Mavs loss.
Not as good as Jordan.
Jordan, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Mavs loss hurt, has, and then also getting strapped up by a rookie.
He ran into an absolute buzzsaw, that is Dirk Nowitzki.
He plays a full game.
He does play a full game.
If he was still playing, he's on my list.
No, he plays a full game.
I think that Mavs loss is kind of unexcusable. And I think at the end of the day, when everybody, 50 years from now, when they're talking about LeBron versus MJ's legacy, I think you have to bring up that Mavs series. And yeah, he just didn't show up. MJ never didn't show up for a playoff series that he was in.
And then when you think about LeBron, MJ, you always think, it's not even like who's more talented. It's just, because you could say LeBron's more talented.
I'd say LeBron is definitely more talented.
LeBron's probably more talented than Jordan. But Jordan had an intensity and competitiveness that LeBron just doesn't seem to match. Which I'm not saying LeBron's not competitive. Like, he obviously wants to win. But like, Michael Jordan wanted to kill his opponent every game.
No, I totally agree. Okay, well, that is going to wrap NBA talk for tonight, and I think we're going to switch over quickly into some game picks for the NFL for Week 4 coming up. How'd you guys like NFL Week 3? Anything that surprised you? Anything that came out of nowhere?
Well, I mean, the only thing that shocked me was that the Falcons managed to do it again, and I think they might go 0-16 this year. I mean, you can't keep blowing leads.
No.
They're lined up for the number one pick.
Yeah. They're going to get Trevor Lawrence before Carson Wentz can go there.
As a Chicago Bears fan, I went to work at halftime, and then my phone started blowing up, and I was like, what the heck is happening? I check it 15 minutes later, and Nick Foles is in, and the Bears are leading. So it was a pretty good weekend for me. I don't know how, but the Bears somehow managed to switch quarterbacks and still be 3-0, and I could not be more happy about it.
I think the Atlanta loss still goes on Atlanta. It's Atlanta loss, not a Nick Foles win.
Yes. if we're looking for biggest fluke undefeated team, it's the Bears.
Well, yeah,
Bears.
Of course you're right, but still, a lot of people had the Bears winning 3 games in total this season, and they're 3-0. So, personally, do I think the Falcons blew it? I rewatched the second half. Blew it.
Didn't Nick throw
calls.
An interception on his first drive?
He threw an interception, but it should have been a touchdown to Allen Robinson. It was a very good play by the cornerback.
He should have had four touchdowns.
Looked really good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Nick Foles. I was shocked by the Chargers, and that might just be because that's the game I watched the closest. They made Mahomes look human. They made him look like, oh, he can make mistakes. Then they got dink and dunked by Teddy Two Gloves. He threw 6 incompletions.
Yeah, that was pretty insane. I completely agree with you. I don't really know where they went wrong there. I think maybe just because they were hyped up about facing the Chiefs, a divisional opponent in a big game. But they absolutely turned a corner in the worst way you can think of. They just ran right into a brick wall.
They were flat.
Yeah, completely.
And Joe Burrow and Carson Wentz don't want to win. Hot take. Neither of them want to win. I don't care what Joe Burrow says. He says, give me another piece, high draft pick for me to throw to, or something else. And Carson Wentz, I think he, I don't know. I don't
think it's that Carson Wentz doesn't want to win. I think he's terrified of keeping losing. I think he's got it in his head that, like, oh, I'm so nervous. I got to win. I got to win. I got to win. I got to win. And then just throws horrible passes and makes horrible choices. Apparently, he's calling off Peterson's plays. Yeah. And he's just, it looks like he's frazzled. It looks like he's a rookie again.
Is it too hot of a take to say the only reason why he still has a job is because of the 2017 MVP caliber season before he got hurt?
I think it's because, and like insider reports are saying, the owner likes Carson Wentz way more than anyone else on the team and more than the coach.
Well, to be fair, I would rather have him than Jalen Hurts. I wouldn't play Jalen Hurts. Like, I would at least go through this season because I don't think he really has the tools to be an NFL quarterback.
My issue with Wentz is this is the worst time to do it. He's doing a little Joe Flacco-esque. He gets the bag and then just is like, oh, well, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, but Joe Flacco got a ring, too.
Yeah, Joe Flacco, Super Bowl
Carson
MVP.
Wentz technically has one.
Yeah, I mean, but Joe Flacco, hang on, played in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it just seems eerily similar where it's they pay him all this money and then they're like, oh, where's the talent around him? Why isn't he doing anything?
I saw flashes of it. I mean, like when they had the lead, they had it. I saw him, and then when they came back and won, he ran it in. I saw it, and then the overtime hits, and like he can't get past the 45-yard line. They literally punt it to end the game.
I'll give just one stat that just shows everything we need to show about Carson Wentz. Mitch Trubisky had a better quarterback ranking than him, and Mitch Trubisky will never see the NFL field in the rest of his career.
No. Ooh, the rest of his career?
The rest of his career.
barring injury.
Okay.
I think he gets in week 9 after Nick Foles throws 4 picks.
Oh, God.
Where do they play week 9?
I don't know. That's
it's going to be a bad week.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. I don't know if Mitch ever
mid-season
sees the field
Nick
again,
Foles,
but it might not
be
for
pulled.
A bear.
Okay. So we are going to go into some game picks. We're going to try to run through them pretty quickly this time. First game, Thursday nighter, another poop Thursday night football game. These Thursday night games cannot get any worse than this, though. A very hurt Denver Broncos traveling to the New York Jets. Who you got?
You know what? Jets get their first win here. I'm a betting myself. Sam Darnold, he didn't play terrible against the Colts. This offense were able to do something against him. But the Broncos are bad. They're injured. I think the Jets get away.
Broncos are bad, but the Jets are the worst team in football.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Broncos.
I'm also going to go with the Broncos. I don't know how the Jets can be this bad.
They need to fire Adam Gase.
It should be a cold take. Adam Gase is definitely going to be gone. I'm shocked he's not already gone with Quinn. He's going to be
gone.
You
can make it
spicier.
Who gets fired first, him or Dan Quinn?
Just because this game is on Thursday, I'm going to say Adam Gase.
Adam Gase
by
Adam
Friday.
Gase gets fired
Saturday.
Dan Quinn gets fired next week.
I think it's going to be Gase. I think he's going to be fired before Sunday. All right, next game. Colts traveling to the Chicago Bears.
I think the Colts are going to beat the Bears. Colts got the best defense in the league, statistically. Phillip Rivers didn't throw any bad balls last game. I think he's gotten used to the offense a little bit.
Give me the Bears. Phillip gets a little wily with defensive pressure. I think that might hurt him.
The Bears are starting to complain to the league that everybody holds Khalil Mack on every single play forever, and hopefully they're going to start listening, and I think my boy Khalil has a big game, and I see this is the first time I'm choosing the Bears, but I'm going to go with the Bears. I think they got it this week, which means loss incoming. All right, New Orleans Saints are going to be traveling to Detroit to face the Lions. The Lions looked really good, upsetting Arizona last week.
Yep, and Drew Brees is outside of New Orleans, so give me the Lions.
I'll take the Saints. I don't think Matt Stafford strikes twice in a row.
I think it's going to be the Lions as well. I really wanted to choose them last week. I was kicking myself watching that game that I didn't, and I think it's going to be the Lions. And hot take. I think this one's going to be one-sided. I don't trust the Saints at all.
There's still no Michael Thomas.
There's still no Michael Thomas.
There's Kenny Golladay now.
He's back.
The Lions.
I think Detroit was able to outscore a very, very good Arizona team, and I think they're going to win this game very handily. Next game is Arizona Cardinals at Dave's Carolina Panthers.
Arizona gets back on track this week. They beat the Panthers.
Oh, yeah. Kyler runs around the defense. The Cardinals win.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to lay a hand on Kyler
Murray.
Does
Carolina have the worst rushing defense? I think they did.
We hit Herbert a lot. Burns had 2 strip sacks.
Yeah, but rushing defense.
Oh, our rushing defense? Yeah, we're pretty bad.
Okay.
I don't think we have Kwon Short back yet, I think. And
so
then
Kyler
we have
Murray just
rookie
has to
defensive
get outside
tackle.
The pocket, and it's like 15 yards.
But that's what the future is about. Matt Rule's going to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely give me Arizona there. All right, in another poopy game, Jacksonville Jaguars at the Cincinnati Bengals.
I already said Joe Burrow doesn't want to win. Jaguars beat the Bengals.
Yeah, give me Minshew. I think he looked very not good against a hot starting Dolphins, but the Dolphins can get to a hot start. That's what Fitzmagic does. I don't think Burrow's that sort of guy that's going to get off to a hot start that quick. So give me the Jags.
Minshew has fallen down to number 3 slot in Florida Power Ranking quarterbacks, I think he has a chance to jump up to number 2 this week. Give me Jacksonville. After that, Cleveland Browns traveling to Dallas, where they have about 500 fans in their stands. Who you got, Eric?
All right, so if the Cowboys lose this game, Stephen A. Smith will forever laugh at them. So I think the Cowboys need to win this game. I will have the Cowboys winning.
Yeah, the Browns almost didn't beat the football team, and Dwayne Haskins played horribly. I don't think the Browns are going to be that good. I'm going to take the Cowboys.
I don't trust the Browns, and I think Dallas still has a very good chance to have a great season this year. I think they turn around right here. Give me Dallas. Okay, in a battle of unexpected 0-3 teams, there's the Minnesota Vikings who are traveling to Houston to see the Texans.
Okay, so the Vikings lost to a Tennessee Titans team that came back on them, and the Texans lost to a Steelers team that came back on them. But I think I saw a little bit of midseason Kirk Cousins in the Vikings game. They scored a lot pretty quick. Dalvin Cook, really good. I think the Vikings beat the Texans.
Yeah, I also have the Vikings beating the Texans. I think there's more weapons in Minnesota, and Kirk Cousins just has to not mess up, while Deshaun has to do a lot to get the game to be close.
I see this as a Deshaun Watson takeover game, and I think Houston has still a minuscule chance of making it into the playoffs, but if they're going to want to do that, they're going to have a big turnaround right here. Give me the Texans. All right, up next, the mighty Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson, who's begging for an MVP vote, are traveling to the Sunshine State to face the Miami Dolphins.
Give me the Seahawks.
Yeah, give me Mr. Unlimited. Just keeps on
Chef
putting
Russ,
up
right?
MVP
Russ is
numbers.
Cooking?
He's
That's the thing.
Wear him out.
Yeah, hashtag Russ is cooking.
Hashtag Russ is cooking. He stays cooking.
Yeah.
In the kitchen.
Easy one right there. Seahawks by a million. Los Angeles Chargers are going to be going to Tampa Bay to face the current number one in the power rankings. In the Florida Power Rankings, Tom Brady. Chargers at Tampa Bay, who you got?
Give me the Buccaneers. We got a West Coast team going all the way to the East Coast. They're going to have to leave on Thursday, maybe Friday. And the Buccaneers looked good last week.
Yeah, the Bucs were clicking. The Chargers kind of took a step back, so I'll take the Bucs too.
I will also take the Bucs. I think Los Angeles has a lot that they need to work out, and I think this is definitely a rebuilding season with very good potential for the future when they don't have a lot of injuries like they do right now. All right, up next we have two very, very good teams going at each other. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to the Tennessee Titans. Tell me again why.
I mean, as a Derrick Henry fantasy owner, I was overjoyed last week. He saw the end zone twice. He had over 100. He had like 120 rushing yards. I think he keeps it going and he beats the Steelers.
I'll take the Steel City. I think their defense is looking pretty good. I think if they don't need to hold anybody in check, they just need to be the first team that's really stopped Tannehill from throwing on them. So I'll take the Steelers.
Can I have a hot take?
Yeah.
You're welcome to.
I'm not going to predict this game because I don't think this game gets played.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they are COVID.
I think that this game, I'll still give a prediction just in case, but I don't.
They play on Monday.
Yeah.
I think it's more hot if you just don't take it. Yeah. And if it happens, you get it as a loss.
I'll take it. Okay, that's fine. If this game gets played, I will take it as a loss. I'm throwing hard.
If it doesn't get played, you get a win.
Yes, if it doesn't get played, I'll take the win.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that the NFL should be smart and delay this until at least the middle of next week to make sure that the players don't spread COVID around to each other.
That's totally fair.
But the NFL doesn't care, and they'll bring in the replacements if they need to. Up next, the New York Giants are going to be facing the Los Angeles Rams. Can we just say Rams and move on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, after that, Buffalo Bills, who are going to be traveling to Las Vegas, Oakland, to see the Raiders.
Josh Allen playing with his head ripped
off
right
now. He's the tallest man alive!
He's super tall. He came back after the Rams came back on him and beat him. He's a little loose with the football, though. But I think the Bills will beat us. I think they'll come to Vegas, and Vegas will no longer be undefeated at home.
Yeah, I think the Bills win. I don't think there's a narrative strong enough to beat the tallest person to ever live.
Yeah,
I think that Josh Allen is a sneaky MVP pick.
I agree.
I think he's number two.
I don't think he'll win it, but he's sneaky.
Number two? You think he's ahead of Mahomes?
Mahomes played bad against the Chargers.
Yeah, but he played really well against
Josh Allen has played really well against
I
predicted he had 3 TDs. He got me 4.
He had 4 TDs. That is true. I really like what Josh Allen has done this year. Let's see if he can keep it up. But I agree. I'd definitely say the Buffalo Bills. Up next after that is the Philadelphia football team. They still are nameless at the San Francisco 49ers, who are injury-ridden, to say the least.
Yes. If the Eagles can't beat the injury-ridden Niners, Carson Wentz is officially on the clock. So I'm going to pick
that
Eagles.
Clock starts this week. I'll take Nick Mullins.
Did anybody see some Nicky Mullins over 300 yards with no receivers and basically a backup team?
Yeah.
He looked real good. Now, granted, it was against the Giants. I will say that. But give me Nick Mullins again. The Nick Mullins era is going hard. It's going strong. And it's never ending.
What lasts longer, the Nick Mullins era or the Nick Foles era?
The Nick Mullins era is going to go on for years, Dave. It's going to be going on till our kids have kids.
This is all a ploy so Logan can get Jimmy G on the Bears.
I think in 50 years from now, when Nick Mullins is still carving up defenses, we'll be able to look back at this tape and say, wow, it was the beginning of something amazing.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's documented then.
Yeah, so.
Heard it here first.
In 100 years, the San Francisco Nick Mullins are just going to be trucking along.
Joe Montana, who Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins, yes. Okay, after that, we have the battle for I-95 with the Baltimore Ravens, who are going to be traveling to the Washington Eagles.
25 minutes south to beat the brakes off the Washington football team. Lamar's upset that he just lost to Mahomes. He's going to go off.
Yeah, he's going to go wild.
This...
Give me the Ravens.
I think the line for this game isn't high enough at 13.5.
I think someone might die on the Washington sports team.
Dwayne Haskins might throw more picks than he's ever thrown in his career.
I feel like they might bring Ray Lewis back and someone might die. Like, they are going to play angry. They are going to unleash H-E double hockey sticks upon the Washington. I said it.
Watch your language.
Oh, wow.
I said it.
Watch your language.
Jeez.
Yeah, give me the Ravens by about 2.5 trillion in that one. All right. The next game is the New England Patriots at the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, I think last year proved it. Andy Reid has finally found a way to beat Bill Belichick. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs too.
I did a bad thing last week, and I chose somebody to beat the Chiefs, and I don't know if I'm ever going to do that again in the history of this show, while Patrick Mahomes is a quarterback. Give me the Chiefs. I think it's going to be way too much for New England.
This show lasts the entire Nick Mullins era, right?
Yeah, this show is never ending. I hope you know that.
Okay, good.
we will. I promise you, there will be a show until Nick Mullins is no longer the quarterback of San Francisco.
Nick Mullins' retirement ceremony is the end of this show.
I really hope he plays for a while. It'd be real sad if he gets like a career ender in the next few weeks.
Yeah, but you know, somebody jinxed it here first.
Yeah. Okay. And in the final game of the week, we have the Atlanta disappointments at the Green Bay surprises. I'd say they're pretty surprising. Falcons at Green Bay Packers. Who do we have?
I have the Packers, but I think the Falcons take a lead here, and they absolutely blow it. I wouldn't be shocked if Atlanta comes out, gets like 14 in the first quarter, and then the Packers start off a little slow, and then just destroy them.
There's no way, though, right?
I'm saying it.
I think the Packers win this one. Aaron Rodgers is playing pretty well. I think they just drafted
Packers
Jordan Love to get him angry.
But Falcons blow the lead.
See, because, like, it's not... I would love to say, like, I think it's going to be the Falcons. They're going to come out hot. But
say it.
How can you... I don't know how
you can say they'll take a lead and still lose. That's what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, that's just so... It's just the thing at this point.
Yeah, that's the thing. Dan Quinn is fired. After this week.
I would love nothing more than to see another Falcon. Because, personally, I'm not really a big Falcons fan. I don't really watch many of their games.
I like Matty Ice.
It's just really fun watching them fall apart. And everybody saying, hey, look, they have a 98% chance of winning. Watch them lose. Oh, it's my new favorite pastime. Give me Green Bay, though. Give me Green Bay. I think it's going to be a tight one. I think Atlanta's probably going to blow a lead, as per usual. But give me Green Bay. Well, that's just about everything I wanted to talk about, boys. Thank you so much for joining me this episode.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always good times.
Good luck to everybody who plays fantasy football or who is betting on this weekend. We wish you the best of luck. Congrats to Tottenham Hotspur today on beating Chelsea in penalty kicks. That was big for the brand. And we are going to sign off. Follow us on all of our socials. And we will talk to you next time.